nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Will Ryan said, "Sales is the only profession that's dedicated to helping people make their dreams come true." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who are dedicated to helping people. Our first Playmakers company has surpassed $700 million in sales in just 3 years, while our next Playmaker runs the largest professional association dedicated to issues relevant to the management of public assembly venues. With us today is a CEO of a company that seeks to make people better, while our next guest is the first female CEO of a 90-year-old organization. These great playmakers are Jeff Dahl. Jeff is co-CEO of Nerium International, and Vicky Howardin. Vicky is CEO of an international association of venue managers, and we're going to begin today's show with Vicky. Vicky currently serves as president and CEO of the International Association of Venue Managers and has over 20 years of association management experience. The IAVM currently has over 4,100 members worldwide. Founded in 1924 as the Auditorium Managers Association, IAVM is the world's largest professional association dedicated to issues relevant to the management of public assembly venues. Vicky served previously in leadership roles for Meeting Professionals International, National Recreation and Park Association, American Association of Blood Banks, International Association for Exhibition Management, and National Athletic Trainers Association. Well, Vicky, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Glad you're here, too. And most people don't know what the International Association of Venue Managers is, so tell us what you actually do.
Sure. Well, most people don't really know what associations are. So there are lots of professional associations, and you mentioned a few that I've worked for. And their job is really to create a community for a profession and a place for people to network and come together and create those connections that help them be successful, but also to learn. There's usually a lot of conferences and training and webinars and those kinds of things that help members learn and grow. We are focused on venue managers. So if you think about any of the big boxes where you go to, so your convention centers, your stadiums, arenas, we have performing arts centers, we even have racetracks and some outdoor facilities and shopping malls and that kind of thing. So our members are the people that run those venues and make sure that the entertainment is there, the space is there, that it works, and that it's safe for the patrons that come to those venues every day.
Well, as you were just describing who your members are, I began thinking about them sitting in their office all by themselves, and they have nobody to interact with. And I can see the IAVM gives them a place to interact with people that do what they do.
Right.
So they do, they're able to find out more about ways to run their business more effectively.
Yeah, and I think about it more and more as that third place people talk about. It's not work and it's not home, but it's another place you can go with like-minded people. And again, there's a lot of learning and growing that takes place, but in some cases, it's just great to get together with people who understand your world, know what it's like to have a major concert and they cancel at the last minute, know what it's like to have some of the really serious concerns that you have to deal with every day and growing every day in terms of our safety and security.
My guess was some of those members, they're very detail-oriented with all the things they have to do to make sure things come off correctly. Well, how does the IAVM impact your members? What do you do for them? You talked about learning and training. What do you do for your members?
Right. Well, we have a big conference that we do every year, which is Venue Connect. So all of those different segments I spoke of come together, and there's a big trade show and a lot of education for our members. So anything from leadership development to how to get great entertainment and grow your revenue for your facility to, again, how to be safe and secure. Then we have a conference for each one of those sectors focused particularly on convention centers and what is of importance to them and the different sectors I spoke of, for example. We have some specialty conferences we do. So we have a leadership development conference that we do in Cornell every year. We have a venue management school, which is very, very successful. The students go for 5 days. These are professional students, not necessarily young students, but people that are starting their careers or mid-level. And they go for 5 days and they really learn everything they need to know to be a great venue manager. And then we have a school focused on safety and security and crowd management, as well as the guest experience, making sure that when people show up, they're having a great and a safe experience. So there's a lot more, but that's a little sampling of the kind of education we offer for our members.
And I can see your members are so varied, you have to have different things for them. A shopping center manager is going to look for different things than a auditorium manager.
Yeah, that's very true. But at the same time, we feel there's more that ties them together. I mean, they're all dealing with large crowds of people. They're all dealing with how to keep their spaces full and productive, and something that's a benefit to their local community. And of course, how to keep large crowds of people safe when they're inside their venue. So there definitely are some specifics that, you know, obviously when we have an arena, they're dealing more with entertainment type issues than a convention center would be, who is trying to really bring in customers to do other big conventions. But really the underlying issues are very similar.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction that the organization used to be called the Auditorium Managers Association. How did that group get started?
We started 90 years ago, and it was a small group of, at that time, I believe, all men who came together, general managers of their venues, and said, you know, we need a place where we can connect and learn from each other. And what's great about this organization is they've really maintained that culture all the way through the 90 years. So even though some of these venues are competitive, either across the United States or within their own communities, there's also a great deal of sharing and collaboration and an understanding that they all get better together when they share. So it did start with those general managers, and it stayed general managers only for quite some time. And then at one point, we opened up the door and started inviting in some of that next level, the assistant general managers. And I'm really proud today. Our numbers have actually grown from what I shared with you. We're over 5,000 members now. And that's in part due to opening those doors wider and coming up with some membership models that allows more of that middle management, and even the new professional to be a member and learn and grow with us.
Well, if nothing else, if I'm working for that general manager, it's to my benefit to be a member of your association so I can gather all this new information and rub elbows with other people too.
Yeah, that's the idea. And we're very excited at the response with this new membership model that allows venues to bring in some of those employees. And they've been surprised in some cases when they ask who wants to be a member, and they now have the ability to let more people be a member. They'll get the guy that works in engineering saying, I really want to be part of that, because they're looking at different career paths, and this gives them something to look at and see if it works for them.
Well, I'm sure this also brings you more revenue too for the organization, so you can do more things for your members.
It does, and in terms of revenue, it actually has been a small amount because we priced it so that it would be very attractive to bring them in, but we are seeing a significant number of those new members participate in our programs, be part of our webinars, submit stories. So the perspectives and the broadness of those voices is really of higher value than anything we get out of it revenue-wise.
Well, you've been CEO for 4 years.
Yes, almost.
What surprised you most when you became CEO, especially as I mentioned at the beginning, you are the first female in the or CEO in the 90 years of the organization, but what surprised you the most?
I think there's a couple of things in terms of, and I'm a new CEO in this role, so it's the first time that I stepped into that role. My prior job, I handled a similar scope in terms of budget and number of staff, but it's very different when you step into that place where you are the CEO and you make those final decisions. I think one thing is, you know, I think you have an idea when you're younger of what the CEO does, and they make decisions and things happen. And actually, I think in becoming CEO, you realize that it's much more difficult to just make a decision and have things happen. It's much more about persuasion. It's much more about setting that vision and getting people excited about doing it. You're not actually in a place hands-on to go forth and do things in some cases. You're talking to other people and trying to get them aligned behind a vision. So I think it's surprising when you get that role to find out that in many ways, the employees, your board, your members, everyone is really your boss that you're working with and responding to. So it's much more collaborative, and I'm actually glad to find out that's the case. But it's definitely you have to take time to learn that new world where you're not actively hands-on doing things as much as you used to be doing. And then I think it's about not knowing when you get in there that your connections will change. So, you know, all my prior jobs I made great friends with my professional associates, and we'd go out after work and we'd talk about work and how to be better and what we wanted to do differently. And when you get to that CEO role, you know, they say it's lonely at the top. top for a reason. And of course, you've got your friends and your family, so it's not truly lonely in that sense. But you've got to find new networks where you can have the kind of discussions that you need to have, because when you start having those discussions internally, they can sound more like, this is where I want us to go, versus I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. So you need to look for those people that you can brainstorm with in a way that doesn't impact the organization until you're ready for it to, and to find people who tell you when you're a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens occasionally, too, to many CEOs. But I would also guess there's a big chasm between the CEO and the next job underneath, because, as you said, there's not a whole lot of people you can talk to. It's other CEOs that are important. Well, what advice would you give somebody that's moving into a CEO or becoming an entrepreneur?
Right. Well, one is I'm a big belief in reading, so read as much as you can about leadership, about what it means to be a CEO. Try really hard to learn those lessons before you get to the job. You'll learn them on the job, and some of them will be easy lessons and some of them will be more tough, where you feel like you've let people down or not done the best that you could do. But then you get back up and you just try again, and you keep trying until you get better at it. So reading as much as you can before you get into it, talking to other CEOs. And then the second one that I have learned well and truly is, you know, they tell you who you hire is the most important thing you do. It truly is the most important thing you do. If you don't do anything else well, take time to hire great people. Know what kind of people you want. Do you want people that are hard driving and will get the job done no matter what? Do you want people, and I would argue people with great positive attitudes, confidence, that bring a sense of how can I make it better to work versus, you know, what's not working here and what am I unhappy about? And people who are inspired to just be innovative and creative every day. If you have those kinds of people on your team, all the way down to the person who answers your phone or takes care of the office.
Yeah, that could be the most important person, too.
That is one of the most important people, and you want somebody in every single job that, again, brings that sense of purpose and joy and positivity to their work every day. If you have that team, you'll feel that you're being lifted up every day at work and that your job gets easier and easier. And if you don't have that team, exactly the opposite happens. It's like walking in molasses uphill.
Well, when you think about a CEO, generally think of a pyramid with the CEO on top. It's actually inverted. The CEO's on the bottom, and you have all those people that make the company. But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When I introduced you, I mentioned a number of associations you're a member of. You started out as a journalist.
Mm-hmm, I did.
How did you move from journalism to becoming the CEO of an international organization?
Well, I became a journalist because I had a talent at writing through high school. So, you know, you go into what you think that you're good at, and I went all the way through school with my journalism degree. And it took me, and I did get a job at a newspaper, and I moved up pretty quickly from what they called cub reporter up to editor. It was a small town newspaper. So the minute the editor's job was open, I said, I can do it. And the publisher said, okay, fine, you can try. And I did. I discovered that I didn't actually love writing. I just happened to have some ability to write. And I also discovered that I wanted to get a cat, and I couldn't afford a cat. So I decided, couldn't afford cat food, and heaven help me if she needed to go to the vet, I wouldn't be able to do that either. I was probably making about $12,000 a year doing what I was doing. So if you loved it, it'd be great, but the combination of I'm not loving this and I'm not really making a lot of money doing it, I decided to look for other options. So at that point, I took what were my writing skills and looked around where I could use them, and I got into an association doing public relations. And I just kind of grew from there. I realized I loved associations. I loved that what you're doing is helping people and helping them be better at their job, and you could see an immediate impact of what you were doing. And I realized quickly, again, that the PR part still had the writing piece that wasn't my favorite. And lucky me, I got hired to do PR, but also to run a trade show. They said, oh, here's this thing called a trade show we need someone to do. Can you do it? And I've always said, I'm sure I can figure it out. So I did, and I discovered I loved doing trade shows. And so that's where my career kind of took off from.
And I'm sure the background of journalism hasn't hurt you in the position you're in either. But tell everybody now how they can find out more about your organization.
Well, obviously, we have a website, iavm.org. If you go there, you will see who we are, what programs and services we offer. If you're in the venue world, you can see how to become a member and what those benefits are to you, and the benefits are many. And there are some contact numbers on there if you want to call any staff person. They can tell you our story.
Well, Vicki, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. It's been great being here.
Vicki Howard, and she is CEO of International Association of Venue Managers. As she mentioned, it's IAVM.org. We're going to take a break, but don't go away. We're going to talk to the co-CEO of a company called Nerium International. We're going to find out what products they have and how they've surpassed $700 million in sales. We're going to speak with Jeff Dahl when we come back right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk to Jeff Dahl. Jeff is co-CEO of Nerium International, and he's responsible for leading Nerium's global growth initiatives and expanding business overseas. Now, Nerium was launched in August of 2011 and is headquartered in Addison. They're a relationship marketing company that's committed to developing and distributing anti-aging products that are rooted in real science, produce real results, and improve consumers' lives. Now, prior to his appointment at Nerium, Jeff was president of Amway Latin America, where he led a regional team covering 12 countries in Central and South America. Prior to Amway, Jeff had an extensive career across Asia and Europe with Coca-Cola and Lufthansa. Well, Jeff, with your globetrotting, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here, Steve.
Well, you are now basically running Nerium after a number of other jobs that you have. What is Nerium International and a little bit about the products, which we'll talk about throughout the show, but yeah, just to overview.
Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, we launched in late 2011, and we're really focused on the anti-aging space. A lot of products out there in our industry, but products for your face, your body, your mind. And all of our products are patented and exclusive. And our product development partners are all from medical research, biosciences, the whole biotechnology field.
Well, everything you have is based on science.
Real science.
Real science. Now, what do you mean by real science?
So a lot of products out there really just address the symptoms. We are multifunctional. We address both the symptom and the cause. So there's a lot of science behind that, a lot of published white papers, a lot of research that we point to.
Well, I read that your ingredients are clinically proven to reduce the appearance of multiple skin concerns, including the appearance of fine lines, wrinkles, discoloration, enlarged pores, and uneven skin texture. Well, the company is you started in late 2011. How long did it take to begin to put these products together before you were ready to market them?
Well, it's interesting. We launched with just one product after, you know, a year and a half of planning. But the research side of it goes back 10 years. And our first product is actually linked to Nerium Oleander. And it's an extract, oleander and aloe combination, that was actually in medical research. And they actually fumbled into this. And they said, hey, you know, we're applying this to the skin, and it's showing anti-aging benefits. We don't know what to do with this. So they approached our founder, Jeff Olson, who then took it to market as a skincare product.
Do most of your products have oleander in it?
There's a mix. We have an international line called Optimera that's a different botanical and science blend.
So you, first of all, have products that work. They're science-backed.
Right.
They're proven. But you also have a marketing organization that markets these for you. Talk a little bit about how you get these products to the individuals that use them.
Yeah, so the channel we choose is relationship marketing. And what's great about this channel is it enables us to keep the costs down, right? So instead of building brick and mortar, we can actually work through a volunteer army that's very passionate about our brand and our product.
And how large is your army right now?
It's large. We don't disclose a lot of numbers, but we're hundreds of thousands.
I did mention that you've done over $700 million in your first 3 years, so the Army must be relatively large.
On a cumulative basis, we're approaching $1 billion now.
That's amazing. So what sets you apart? What sets Nearman apart from the other companies that do things similar to what you do?
Well, it's right where we started. It's product. So this is a great industry. I mean, relationship marketing is not well understood. And it's a volunteer army, and it's an opportunity to go into work for yourself. And we try to make it really easy for our brand partners. We call our distributors brand partners. And it all starts with good product. All you have to do is hand the product off to somebody and say, try it for 5 days and give me a call back.
Which is different from some of the other competitors that you
Absolutely.
Have out there where you can't do that.
Absolutely.
And we're speaking with Jeff Dahl. Jeff is CEO of Nearium, and you can check their website out at Nearium, Nearium.com. But let me ask you this. Somebody wants to get involved with Nearium. Besides just finding out more about it, how would they do that?
Go to our website, and we'll refer you to a brand partner, and they'll sign you up.
So it's somebody is there that's there to help you.
Absolutely.
And as you get started.
Absolutely. And what really sets us apart is we've got a robust back office and support system. So anybody, literally anybody can get in this business. You don't need any particular level of education, financial funding. You can get into this. We're going to support you. We're going to give you everything you need to succeed. You just need to plug into the system.
We were talking about that before the show started, about the fact that this is very financially very inexpensive to get involved with.
Yes.
But it really has to do with the attitude and the effort the person has to put forth. So what happens if I put that effort out? What do I see as a return?
You know, I like to say, you know, 30% is just showing up, 30% is sticking with it, and 30% is your attitude. That other 10% is a dogfight, right?
Absolutely.
But that attitude and being persistent and showing up is so, so important. And we like to call it the Nearium rhythm. You come into our system and we've got a rhythm. You just plug in and you roll with it. There's weekly calls, there's meetings or big conferences. We just, last month, we're in San Jose with 14,000. We sold out. So plug into the system, work it, be patient, work it, be persistent, you'll succeed.
A big part of that is the passion that a person has to have for the product.
Absolutely.
And this is what they're learning from Nearium. Well, you also mentioned that you're in third world countries also.
Yes.
What are you doing there, and how is Nearium working with the customers?
Yeah, actually, last year we launched Canada and Mexico. In San Jose last month, we announced we're going to Korea in June. And at the end of the year, we'll be announcing two other markets that we're going into. So we're starting to branch out. But I got to tell you, this business in the third world is huge. Because, again, there are parts around the world where if you're not born into the right family, you don't have enough financial funding, you know, you don't have an education. Most people don't even finish high school in some of these markets. You don't have a business opportunity. And I got to tell you, the epiphany for me was standing on stage in Rio in Brazil with a single mom from a favela. This is my previous company. We were awarding her a check for $22,000.
And that's a lot of money.
For her, it was like hitting a lottery. She had two kids. She lived in a cardboard shack with a bungee cord for a lock. Now she was in an apartment, and her kids went to private school. On $22,000, we totally altered her life, and her mascara is running down my shirt. And I looked up, and I said, I am in love with this industry. This is the cause that I've been looking for my entire career.
Well, two things I just took from that. One is the word opportunity. You're giving people that have never had an opportunity or didn't think they did, but you're also changing people's lives.
Absolutely.
And that woman's life has been changed forever, and she can't ever go back to where she was before.
Right.
Well, your company has been recognized by Direct Selling News for the third consecutive year on its Global 100 list. Why are you there? How did you become that good that quickly?
Yeah, you know, so we launched in 11. We did $100 million in our first year, as you mentioned, and we've doubled every year since. Second year, we got the Bravo Award for fastest growing company in the industry, and we doubled again in 14, and we're looking really nice for 15. But I think the difference, again, is the combination of product, real product, and then the system, trying to make it real easy on this new person. And Jeff Olson, our founder, likes to say, baby brand partner. Take care of the baby brand partner. That person that gets in the business for the first time on their own with no experience, we got to do everything we can to wrap our arms around them and help them succeed.
Seems like you
do that and you'll succeed.
Absolutely. You have two two areas of focus for your company. One, you're focusing on the product for them.
Yes.
But you're also focusing on them to make them successful.
Yes.
Now, speaking of making them successful, you have a biannual conference called Get Real. And we are broadcasting here in Dallas. It'll be in Dallas in September.
It will.
Tell us about it more.
Yeah,
about it.
What's interesting is we had 14,000 out in San Jose. We sold out. We decided to put tickets on – Vicki will appreciate this. We put tickets on pre-sale while we were there and sold out 10,000 tickets in 24 hours. 24 hours. So we're looking for roughly – maybe 24,000 or 25,000 people in Dallas in September.
So how does somebody get involved in that if they'd like to attend?
Go to Nerium.com.
Nerium.com. That's again, we're talking to Jeff Olson, or Jeff Dahl. Jeff Olson is the
We
the
actually
founder.
Have three Jeffs in the company.
Three Jeffs.
So
do you have to be named Jeff to be a part of Nerium?
Almost. Some ask.
And it's Nerium.com, Nerium.com. You have also begun to put your money back into the community, some philanthropic efforts. And one of the big companies, you've just given them $1 million, Big Brothers Big Sisters. How'd you get involved with them?
Yeah, you know, again, we're cause related. And Big Brothers Big Sisters is something that's really special for us and for me because I am a sponsor. I have a little that I hang out with every other week. And I got to tell you, it's more rewarding for me than it is for him. We like to bowl together. But I come out of there so pumped up about my day with him. It is so cool. But actually, since we started our partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters, we've given over $2 million. We're the largest corporate sponsor in the U.S. with Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
How did Nerium get involved with that organization compared to some others?
We just started with them early on. We were looking for a cause, and we felt that they really matched up with our DNA.
And so Big Brothers Big Sisters is your area where you're putting your money. But let's kind of wrap this up with Nerium. I want to become a distributor for Nerium. Mm-hmm. What would I have to do? Once I signed up and I had somebody that I was working with, cuz I'm going to get that name from going to your website, what would I experience? What would happen next?
You know, a lot of it is what you want to accomplish. We ask you what's your why? Why are you in this? If you're in it for part-time, you just want to earn a little extra money to pay for some groceries or pay for a kid's apartment, or if you want to go full-time, you know, to pay for college educations and leave the corporate world. We have a lot of people that just hang up the rat race and come over and do this full-time. It's really up to you. Totally flexible. We're not going to push you in any direction. It's your choice. But we'll give you all the tools. We'll determine what you want to get to, what your personal goals are. We're going to load you up with the right support system and the right tools to help you get there. And the right mentorship and support.
Now, there are some possibly listeners, people out there that don't want to go into a business. They simply want to purchase your products. Can they also go to Nerium.com and do the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we call those preferred customers. And matter of fact, most of our friends or competitors in the industry are also customers of ours because the products are so good.
Well, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about the Nerium products.
Yeah, I just go to denerium.com, and if you want to be referred to a brand partner, we can do that for you. If you just want to buy products, we can direct you there.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Great being here.
Jeff Dahl. Jeff is co-CEO of Nerium International. He is co-CEO with the founder, who is Jeff Olson. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. It's been great having both of our guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.